Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today we continue to look at the book of Judges, this time chapter 11, verses 29 to 39. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah. He passed through Gilead and Manasseh and through Mizpah, Gilead as well, and from there he went on to the Ammonites. Jephthah made a vow to the Lord. If you deliver the Ammonites into my power, he said, whoever comes out of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in triumph from the Ammonites shall belong to the Lord. I shall offer him up as a burnt offering. Be careful of rash promises. Be careful. That was a rash promise. Jephthah then went on to the Ammonites to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his power, so that he inflicted a severe defeat on them. From Aor to the approach of Minnith, 20 cities in all, and as far as Abel Karaman. Thus were the Ammonites brought into subjection by the children of Israel. When Jephthah returned to his house in Mizpah, it was his daughter who came forth, playing the tambourines and dancing. She was an only child. He had neither son nor daughter besides her. When he saw her, he rent his garments and said, alas, daughter, you have struck me down and brought calamity upon me. For I made a vow to the Lord, and I cannot retract. Remember what he said. Whoever comes out of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in triumph from the Ammonites shall belong to the Lord. I shall offer him up as a burnt offering. Now, look at the response. She replied, Father, you have made a vow to the Lord. Do with me as you have vowed, because the Lord has wrought vengeance for you on your enemies, the Ammonites. Then she said to her father, let me have this favor. Spare me for 2 months, that I may go off down the mountains to mourn my virginity with my companions. Go, he replied, and sent her away for 2 months. So she departed with her companions and mourned her virginity on the mountains. In those days, not having children was a curse, because children were blessings from God. Do you see what's happened to us? At the end of the 2 months, she returned to her father, who did to her as he had vowed. I'm certainly not advocating this. That was a rash promise. You don't make rash promises. Whoever comes out of the door, I will sacrifice to you. You just don't make promises like that. There was no prudence here. But he carried it out. You can see a certain zeal, can't you? What he had promised the Lord, he couldn't go back, even though this was the dearest person to him. And look at his daughter. She accepted it. Some people would say, that's sick. And I agree. I am not urging people to make rash promises and then try to carry them out. There's no prudence there. But what I am saying is this. Make the distinction. I don't agree, of course, with what he did here. It's wrong. It's wrong. But what I am saying is, look at his desire to follow the Lord. It was so clear that no matter what, he would do what he believed God asked of him, including rash promises. There's need for prudence there and pastoral care. I am not advocating this in any way. I'm just saying, look at the one piece is that he had committed, he had promised God, and no matter what it cost him, he would carry it out. We need to have that level of zeal for God. And we need wisdom when we make promises to the Lord. We need counsel. We need help to know that we do them properly. But there still is something about the fact that he was so given to God that even that which was dearest to him, he would sacrifice. Now, again, please hear me. I'm not advocating this, but I'm just saying go back to the principles. I'm not advocating how this was carried out at all, at all. We need prudence and wisdom, as I said, to make our commitments to the Lord. We need help from others to make sure our commitments are true and then that we live by them. And that's the point. We often, here in our modern world, we make commitments, but we don't necessarily have any plan to carry them out. I mean, if something more important comes up or whatever, we easily drop the promises we made to God. That's what I want you to take a look at. That's what I want you to gain from this, is what promises have I made to God, and am I living them out? If not, what am I doing about that? Psalm 40, here I am, Lord. I come to do your will. Bless the man who makes the Lord his trust, who turns not to idolatry, nor to those who stray after falsehood. Sacrifice or oblation you wish not, but ears open to obedience you gave me. See, that's, they're realizing that it wasn't the sacrifice of people and it wasn't the sacrifice of animals that which you see in the Old Testament. It wasn't that which pleased God. What pleased God was obedience to him. In the written scroll, it is prescribed for me to do your will. O my God, is my delight, and your law is within my heart. Is God's law in your heart? Do you live out of it? Does it shape your decisions? Take a look. Take a look at the Ten Commandments. Do these shape my life, my relationships, my dealings with people, my own relationship with God, or not? We really seriously need a national examination of conscience. Because, brothers and sisters, God will not be swayed by our arguments, because oftentimes when we do things the way we want to do it, we're leading other people down the wrong paths. And God abhors that. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 1 to 14. Jesus again, in reply, spoke to the chief priests and the elders of the people in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. He dispatched his servants to summon the invited guests to the feast, but they refused to come." Doesn't God often do that? He gives an invitation to us to come, to sit at his banquet table. How many times do we say, "I'm too busy to go to Mass, too busy to go to church, too busy to worship, too much on my plate right now"? If you switch your priorities, you'd find how quickly things would fall into place for you. A second time he sent other servants, saying, "Tell those invited, behold, I have prepared my banquet. My calves and fattened cattle are killed. Everything is ready. Come to the feast." This is what God has done for us through Christ. He's prepared a banquet for us. He's ready to serve us. Do we accept the invitation to the banquet? The banquet of the Eucharist, the banquet of the eternal banquet, the banquet of eternal life. Do we accept that invitation here? And are we in the process of accepting that invitation for all eternity? It says here, he dispatched his servants to summon the invited guests to the feast, but they refused to come. Too many other things to do. Don't have the time right now. Or whatever. I don't like who else is invited and I don't want to come. How many times have we said that? On a human level. A second time he sent other servants, saying, "Tell those invited, behold, I have prepared my banquet. My calves, my fattened cattle are killed. Everything is ready. Come to the feast." Some ignored the invitation and went away. One to his farm, another to his business. The rest laid hold of his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. That's an allusion to the prophets of the Old Testament. They came inviting people to follow God. And what did we do? We mistreated, we persecuted, we killed many of the prophets. Many. They gave their lives delivering the invitation. Why did they kill them? Because it was so contrary to the way they were living and the way they had shaped life for themselves. So contrary. They couldn't hear the truth. They couldn't open themselves to what would constitute a massive change. And sometimes that's our case. Ah, think about it, some people say. No, you don't. You just want to procrastinate. You want to hold off from making the decision. Unfortunately, if you hold off too long, the decision will be made for you and it won't be the decision you want. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Look at the Old Testament. Look how the Jews suffered again and again and again because they had to learn these lessons just as we do. Don't look down on them. They're teaching you what to do and what not to do by their own mistakes. They're teaching us. Heed, listen, obey. And then the king said to his servants, "The feast is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy to come. Go out, therefore, into the main roads and invite to the feast whomever you find." Oh, God opens his doors to everybody, brothers and sisters. Those you wouldn't want to associate, if they say yes to him, he opens the doors to them. You better give up some of your prejudices now, or you're going to suffer a while in purgatory until you're able to enter the banquet feast of the Lamb, where people from every tribe, tongue, and nation will be found. You better learn now to let go of your dislikes for this kind of personality, or this kind of person. The servants went out into the streets and gathered all they found, bad and good alike, and the hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to meet the guests, he saw a man there not dressed in a wedding garment. That is, somebody snuck in there but hadn't really given themselves to the Lord, or some interpreted as were not baptized. He said to him, "My friend, how is it that you came in here without a wedding garment?" But he was reduced to silence. And then the king said to his attendants, "Bind his hands and feet, cast him into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Many are invited." Many are invited, but few are chosen. Those who are chosen to enter the banquet feast of the Lamb are those who have said yes to him, who desire to follow him, who live their lives in the light of eternity, who live their lives as much as they can, and yes, we make mistakes, but live them as much as we can for his honor and glory. Let us enter the banquet feast of the Lamb, brothers and sisters. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I'd like to offer you a new free booklet entitled The Final Confrontation by Ralph Martin. I am very interested in your response, and you can write to me at Renewal Ministries. To access the free booklet, simply call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.